my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Hey, friends. This is episode 286 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast, and kind of a unique situation where not only do I have a co-host, but we're going to be doing an interview together in tandem. Chad Smart is back once again from the Positive Cynicism Podcasting Network. And way back in the day, Chad and I did a lot of these podcasts together. Chad, I wanted you to be a part of this show for a couple of reasons. Not because it's going to be a ratings boost by any means, but I kid. That's where you're supposed to laugh.
I don't LOL. I was LOIS, laughing on the inside.
Okay. So now that Chad's done being Lois.
Lois rules,
exactly. When I moved to Southern Illinois in 2004, you know, I had been to maybe one or two independent shows, and these independent shows were anchored by former WWF or former WCW performers. So I didn't really get the whole thing behind indie wrestling at the time. But when I moved here, Chad not only introduced me to local independent wrestling, which I fortunately then was able to get a job and be a part of with All American Pro Wrestling, but also things like TNA. I had not watched TNA. Chad was watching the monthly pay-per-views, or the weekly pay-per-views, rather. And then he also introduced me to Chikara Pro. Most recently, though, we've discovered, or he discovered and introduced it to me, Wrestling Pro Wrestling. So, Chad, first of all, kind of walk me through your view on pro wrestling, because you think outside the box a lot of the times when it comes to your fandom and what you are watching, because it's not part of the quote-unquote mainstream.
Well, I think it has to do with just having the wrestling sickness, you know, that we've discussed before. It's I will watch pretty much any wrestling. And when I got into wrestling back, you know, around 84, 85, I was fortunate enough to have access to WWF, NWA, Mid-South, AWA. You know, so my interest has always been in as many promotions as possible, basically. And after WCW and ECW folded in the early 2000s, you know, that's when I think the indie market really took over and got big in the following years. And, you know, with Chikara, I think it was just at this time, also the internet had exploded and, you know, finding out what dirt sheets were. And so knowing like all the behind the scenes actions between WWF and WCW or WWF at the time. With Chikara, I didn't know any of that. So it took me back to being a fan as a kid, where you just watch for entertainment's sake. And now with Wrestling Pro Wrestling, it's the same thing. Like, all I know about WPW is Brian Kendrick is involved. Mm-hmm. And anything else beyond that, I can just go and, yeah, there are some weird characters and you know, some of the wrestling isn't, wrestling would be stretching the term, you know, when you have guys like Sam Squatch and Nessie Jr. out there, or King Giraffadora. But then you also have, at least in WPW, they have a core talent of very talented wrestlers who just won me over on the first show that I went to. And that's where our guest in this episode comes in. And, you know, I want that excitement of being able to just sit back and watch, not critique, not be critical, and just enjoy it. And that's what I think a lot of independent wrestling is.
Okay, and so that being said, when you were back home over Christmas break, you introduced me to WPW. We watched a show on YouTube, and then last month, or actually at the end of March, we did a watch along here on the podcast, and that is actually where our guest, after tweeting it out, we connected with him, and that is Darwin Finch. And Chad, I'm going to let you kind of do a lot of the heavy lifting with this interview, because you've been there, you've seen these shows in person and live. So first of all, I want to welcome Darwin Finch to the show, and also Chad, I want to thank you for kind of being the question asker here, but I'll interject from time to time as well. But Chad, without any further ado, why don't you go ahead and take it away?
All right. Well, let's introduce him. He hails from the Galapagos Islands. I don't exactly remember exactly how many, I think it's decigrams he weighs, but he is the punk rock Poindexter, Darwin Finch. Darwin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on there, fellas. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Darwin, I've been attending Wrestling Pro Wrestling shows since, I believe, it was around August of 2019. For some reason, I'd been familiar with the promotion existing probably for a good 6 or 7 months before that, but never was able to attend a show. And I'm trying to remember who you wrestled on the first show that that I watched, but your first match, I was just like, I was blown away. So I should say this, you know, if anyone follows me on Twitter, pretty much after every Wrestling Pro Wrestling show, I tweet how great the match with Darwin is, because I think he's most been in a lot of the match of the nights. So this will be more continuation of me putting him over big time. So just get used to it.
I can take that. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. But so I guess let's start at the beginning. How long have you been wrestling for folks that aren't familiar with you?
My debut was in November of 2014.
Okay. Wow, five and a half years. Okay, I was not aware. And I believe did you train at the Santino Brothers facility?
Yes, I did. Yeah, and my debut was for Santino Brothers as well.
Which they also have shows on YouTube. And as we record this in May of 2020, during the whole COVID shutdown, I know... saw recently that they have shut down facilities for the time being. Hopefully they will be back up and running. But can you give a little bit of background into the Santino Brothers training facility?
Sure. So the training facility was located in Belleau Gardens, California. Is run by Joey Chaos is the owner, along with his wife, Jezebel Romo. You know, the head trainers there at the time when I started training there, the head trainers were Joey and Robbie Phoenix. Joey's kind of phased out a little bit of the actual physical part of the training somewhat. Every once in a while he gets in there. It's mostly Robbie now, but when I was starting out there, it was pretty much the two of them. From then, as I got... you know, through their curriculum, and they actually have a pretty well-structured, you know, beginners, intermediate, advanced curriculums. And once I started getting to the more advanced level, I started training with Los Luchas, Gentleman Jervis. Actually, Gentleman Jervis kind of came after I debuted, but I worked with him a lot. And, of course, the aforementioned Brian Kendrick.
Okay, so Kendrick was with Santino. Okay, I did not realize that. So... I was going to segue from there. How did you get involved with Wrestling Pro Wrestling then?
So I actually originally got asked to be on there. Brian kind of, he only vaguely knew my character. I think we were in like a battle royal or something for Santino Bros. And I thought it would be funny to do the old... Bushwhacker Luke and just come out and have him throw me directly over the top rope. So, I don't know, from there we just kind of, our sense of humor meshed a little, and he brought me on to Wrestling Pro Wrestling. Initially, I was in a tag team, and we kind of, it was more of a comedy duo. It wasn't until I started actually training with Brian that he saw, you know, my more technical aspects, more wrestling capabilities. And from there on, he kind of started pushing me more into that part of the show rather than, you know, doing the goofier stuff.
I have a quick question. Darwin, you mentioned Bushwhacker Luke. How much of an influence as a performer, as a professional wrestler, do you draw from, you know, guys who were wrestling in the 80s and 90s versus those who are wrestling today? You know, do you try to kind of mesh everything together? Because obviously what wrestling, pro wrestling, a lot of it is more of a performance and more, you know, there are some of those more quote-unquote comedy spots. But as you also mentioned, you are very technically sound as well. So where do you draw influences from?
Okay, that's a very good question. I would like to say that my influence comes from all over the place. It's kind of an amalgam of styles and eras. You know, I always grew up loving the underdog characters, you know, like 1-2-3 Kid and Rey Mysterio. You know, going a little bit earlier than that, you know, I loved the crazy antics of Rowdy Roddy Piper. And, you know, being a nerd and kind of a fierce and, well, not fierce, but I'd say tough, tough customer, if you will. I definitely drew a lot of inspiration from Spike Dudley. But as far as, you know, like the in-ring, you know, the technical stuff, I love Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero, Jushin Thunder Liger, Ultimo Dragon. You know, I've watched a ton of World of Sport. I pretty much draw influences from everywhere I can, really.
And with those influences, is there a conscious effort to either emulate the performers you enjoy, or do you try to create your own identity and maybe take a, you know, one or two spots that the performers are known for, but then try to put your own twist on it? Or what? Because as someone who's just a fan of the wrestling and you know, I don't know how one develops your own repertoire. Is any of that a factor?
Yeah, I mean, what I always tell people that are coming up is to watch everything, to take stuff that you particularly like and then figure out a way to make it your own. You know, I mentioned the Spike Dudley influence, and I do the acid drop from time to time as kind of a, you know, an homage there. And you know, a lot of, you know, I don't do a lot of moves that don't already exist, you know. a lot of wrestling and figuring out your move set is kind of trial and error. It definitely helps to have your peers around and your trainers to be honest with you and tell you, you know, what moves suit you, what works well for you. And you can kind of get a feel for it as well. But sometimes, you know, it takes an outside observer or even just seeing yourself on videotape to be like, okay, that came out really well, or I should never do that move again, or at least until I get better at it.
I hope you're paying attention, Kevin, because you can go back and watch your tag team title reign in stride and probably take a few pointers.
Yeah, Darwin, I am a 47-year-old ring announcer who got talked into having a series of matches last year and over the summer. And actually, Chad flew in from Southern California to watch as me and my partner actually won our company's tag team titles. So he still busts my balls about that. But it is, you know, wrestling is so, because there are so many different genres, I get. I don't even know if that's the right word to use here, but obviously, you know, watching a wrestling, pro wrestling show, you're going to see things that you're probably not going to see at a WWE event or a Ring of Honor event or an AEW event. As a fan, talk to me as a fan and as a performer, how important is it to kind of keep things, because as Chad and I have watched the shows together, there is a little taste of something, I think, for everyone. As you mentioned, the technical side of things, but then there's also, you know, you've got the performer coming out in a 7-foot-tall giraffe costume. So, you know, costume. There's obviously something. What's that?
Costume? Or, no, that's a real giraffe.
Okay,
real
I'm sorry. But you know what I'm saying. There's a little bit of something for everyone. So, you know, how important is that to kind of keep the show flowing and balanced like that with a wrestling pro wrestling event?
Well, I think that the show is very well structured in that you don't, I mean, sometimes, you know, it does lean a little bit more heavy on the comedy side, but you don't usually see the same type of act following each other.
Sure.
You know, usually it'll start off with a hot opener, and you know, then maybe an interview segment, and then kind of a 4-minute comedy match, then another wrestling match. So you know, it jumps around. It makes it enough of a variety show, which I think is very important. You know, wrestling is pretty much the circus, and you don't want to just go and see only the clowns or see only a bunch of lion tamers. You know, you want a little bit of all of that. So, setting up a structure, it's very important to appease everybody in the crowd, and also so that they don't get burnt out on one thing or the other.
Yeah, I think that's something that is missing in a lot of the wrestling. Like, for me as a wrestling fan, going back to when I got into ECW, one of the things I liked was there were so many different styles in one show. You would have your technical, your brawling. And I think now, especially in WWE, everything seems to be the same. It's very flat. It's very one-dimensional. Whereas on the indie scene, you know, and a lot of times you get a lot of the high spot, the quick action. So I think Wrestling for Wrestling does tap into definitely that ebb and flow of different styles, which is very important. Speaking of comedy, because I know comedy has come up, it has probably gotten bigger in wrestling, and I think part of that is due to kind of the curtain being pulled back. You know, as we record this, the Viceland Dark Side of the Ring series recently aired an episode on Dr. D. David Schultz and his famous slap on John Stossel after Stossel asked if wrestling was fake. And again, I dislike the term fake because having been in a wrestling ring and seeing how hard that hits, I don't care how well-trained you are, that's going to hurt when you fall.
It does.
but you know, the fans are more enlightened today to where they understand what's going on. And so you get a lot more comedy than we would see in the past. Do you think this is just a natural progression of the wrestling format? Or do you think at times maybe the comedy is being taken too far and you need to, you know, the promotions need to draw back a little bit more to focus on the technical aspect?
Well, you know, I think it just, what matters is, how do I want to phrase this? What matters most is, you know, each company has to kind of set up its own rules as far as what it is that makes what their show's level of believability is. You know, if you go to a Marvel movie, you're not going to be, you know, surprised when people can fly and shoot laser beams out of their hands, but you know, you're not going to watch a cop procedural movie and then be okay with suddenly somebody taking, you know, 8 bullets and walking just fine when the whole movie's been, you know, telling you that this everything we're doing is completely realistic. So I think it's just important for each company to kind of follow its own rules. I don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing to go, you know, obviously coming from wrestling pro wrestling, there's not a whole lot of rules that we have or that haven't broken. but I also, I mean, the main point is if the audience is willing to go along with it, and, you know, if they're having a good time. The worst comedy wrestling is bad comedy wrestling. and I've seen that plenty of times. Serial Man made a good point to me once that even though the things he does are funny, he's still trying to win the match. Mm. And that's something that I think sometimes gets lost in comedy wrestling, where the focus is a little bit too much on, hey, what can we do that's going to be funny, rather than how can I be funny while I'm trying to win?
Let me ask you this, if you don't mind, and if you can't answer it, I understand, but it's been said before that nobody hates wrestling more than wrestling fans. And I think, you know, with obviously the prevalence of social media, and that's actually how we were able to connect. So, you know, there are good points to social media where we're able to interact and talk and set up this podcast interview. However, there are also a lot of critics out there. And I'll admit, in the early days of when I had started the My 123 Cents blog, you know, it was more of an opinion-based, kind of a critical eye on things. Now, you know, 10 years later, though, I've softened the tone a bit and, you know, am opening my, you know, I think it comes with just becoming older as well, that you open your eyes to new perspectives and live different experiences. But I would imagine that most of, if not all of the fans who are in attendance at a wrestling pro wrestling show are there because they want to be there and support, and they already know kind of what they're getting. They're not expecting an AEW show, or they're not expecting a WWE event, but they've kind of come to expect what you guys are going to be offering them. But, you know, talk to me about that fan base and the loyalty, and, you know, do you guys have to ever deal with those quote-unquote haters who are inevitably out there?
I mean, every once in a while, you'll get a few of those types of fans that show up, and they'll try to, you know, naysay things and try to get themselves over. They're kind of akin to the person that shows up to a magic show and starts yelling out how the magician's doing all their tricks.
Yeah.
You know, nobody actually likes that guy.
Right.
You're not, just because you're clever doesn't make you interesting. But, I mean, for the most part, you know, a lot of our fans, I would say the majority of them probably aren't actual wrestling fans. There's a lot, you know, we're lucky enough to have moved to Burbank. We've had a few locations before. We ran out of the Santino's Dojo. We ran out of Southgate. And those venues, we'd have probably about 10 or 15 people in the audience. We ran out of the CIA in North Hollywood, and that's where we started to kind of generate the fan base that we have now. However, that venue was too small, so we could only hold about 30 to 40 people in there. But when we moved to Burbank, a lot of those fans followed us over to Burbank. And I don't know if it was internet presence or friends telling other friends or whatever, but, you know, it's just, it just seemed to have grown exponentially since we moved to that location. And a lot of the fans are very loyal, a lot of repeat customers, like Mr. Smart here. And, you know, we're very fortunate that they come along for the ride, and they, you know, I feel like they add to the show. Because, yes, they shout out things, but it's in a way that adds and not doesn't detract.
Yeah, I was going to say real quick that at the January show, Christmas in January, when I got into the seating area and took my normal seat, I was surrounded by a group of probably seven or eight older folks. Let's just and by older, I mean these people were in their 60s and 70s.
Mm.
And I got to talking with one of the ladies sitting next to me, and she's just like, well, we saw an article in the Toluca Lake local paper, and it just sounded like fun. And so I was like, so you have no idea what this is? She's like, no, we just enjoyed going to wrestling back, you know, in the 80s, and we thought we'd come out and check this out. And, you know, to me, who was familiar with the product, I was like, okay, this should be interesting when guys like Leather Daddy comes out, or, you know, I think Leather Daddy was like one of the first people out in the show, and they just loved it. They were laughing, they were taking photos, and they, you know, after the show, I asked them what they thought, and they're like, this is great, we'll be back next month. They were not, but maybe in the future they'll be back for a show. So, you know, looking at the wrestling scene here in the Los Angeles area, obviously Pro Wrestling Guerrilla has been around, I think, one of the longest, and is the most popular, to my knowledge. But they are a very different promotion than Wrestling Pro Wrestling. And there's also Bar Wrestling, which I've not yet attended a show. I've followed the results. But you mentioned Wrestling Pro Wrestling fans not being wrestling fans, per se. But so do you follow these other promotions? And would you say that each one has an individual fan base? Or do you think there is some overlapping there?
There seems to be a lot more overlapping with the, you know, quote-unquote, like, straight wrestling shows. I wouldn't necessarily call Bar a straight wrestling show. They do kind of lean into the comedy a little bit, but it's still, it's a very... It feels kind of like a PWG Junior. You're still going to see a lot of high spots, a lot of big names. You know, it's just maybe a little bit more leaned back in its structure. But yeah, you'll see a lot of the same fans kind of migrate throughout those shows. And you know, some of them do come to WPW as well because you know there is wrestling there, and they also, you know, enjoy fun. I'm not going to say that, you know, your straight wrestling fan doesn't also enjoy some comedy. There are plenty of wrestling fans who like all different types of wrestling, you know, myself being one of them. Yeah, so we get a little bit of those, but definitely you'll see more of those types of fans kind of migrating out throughout those shows, whereas you won't see a lot of the people that just come to Wrestling Pro Wrestling at those other places.
One thing that I've noticed, not just with Wrestling Pro Wrestling, but obviously other independent promotions, and I actually watched a match, and I apologize, I didn't jot down the company that it was, but you were wrestling on that event as well. You were involved in an intergender match. Can you talk to us a little bit about intergender wrestling, and is there, obviously, you know, it's 2020 and times have changed versus the way things were when Chad and I were first watching wrestling in the 80s and into the 90s, where it's, you know, the competition is there obviously on the women's side as well, and is there any hesitation getting in there and wrestling a female, or is it, you know, do you view these matches as if you were wrestling a male counterpart?
I would say that it's somewhere in between there.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem wrestling any female, as you probably noticed from that match.
Sure.
But, you know, they train with us. They're taught how to take all the same bumps. They're hit just the same as any of us, because if they don't get it from us, they're going to get it outside of the dojo, and then they're not going to quite be ready for it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's important for their training to just train alongside the guys and do anything. The thing to note is how the fans are going to react to it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm a strong, you know, championing of, intergender wrestling, if you will. But I do believe that you have to be aware of the audience. So one thing, that's hard to do is to have a male be the face and the female be the heel.
Yeah.
I've managed to be able to pull that off. It's not easy, and you know, luckily I've had it. You know, it's not on just me. It's also on the fact that I was working with a woman who's really good at getting people to hate her. And I'm, you know, such a charming, nice young man. But, I mean, you have to, just as you'd have to be aware of the story you're telling when you're doing Rey Mysterio and The Big Show,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're going to make that match believable in people's eyes, there's things, certain things you have to do. And I believe you can do the same thing, even easier, actually, depending on, you know, depending on the man, depending on the woman. You can do that same thing. You just have to be aware of how you do it.
No, I agree with you on those points. And I think, you know, if you look at the indie wrestling scene, and this hopefully it doesn't come off as negative as it sounds in my head, but the discrepancy in size between male and female wrestlers is a little bit closer, or the discrepancy is less than it is, say, in like WWE, where,
yeah.
you know, you have a 6'5" guy and a 5'2", 5'3" woman. So I totally agree with you that the believability is there. And I think intergender wrestling is obviously becoming more acceptable, but yes, you have to make it believable.
I agree with you on that, by the way, because you wouldn't see Alexa Bliss wrestling Braun Strowman, for example. So what you said, yeah, Chad, and I was thinking the same thing, but I don't think it sounded negative at all.
Okay. On the watch-along that Kevin and I did at the end of March, one of the topics we brought up was character versus gimmick. And I know, Darwin, you had reached out on Twitter to say that you would explain this to us. So can you explain the difference between a character in wrestling and a gimmick in wrestling?
Sure. Gimmick is kind of like, you know, a base classification. You know, like you could say Darwin's the nerd wrestler. That's his gimmick. Or you can say Adam Page is a cowboy. You know, that sort of thing. Though that's a gimmick. It's kind of basic, you know, short explanation of what you're looking at. A character is where you go in a little bit more detail of who the actual person is. And I just remembered you guys talking about, and I think you had hit it on the head, that sometimes people have a gimmick, but they don't have a character. Or they, you know, they maybe they have a certain appearance, don't know what they're trying to be. So one, it's very important for a wrestler to know who they are, the ins and outs of where they came from, why they're wrestling, how they react to certain things. Even as little as, you know, how do they get in and out of the ring? You know, all those little details make up a character. And unfortunately, you don't always see that. Maybe people just aren't taught that, or they don't think that stuff matters, but it does. Because when you have a fleshed out character, people respond to that more. They people connect with you more. That's just the basic difference, is just, you know, the clear cut, this is who this person is, versus, you know, the fleshed out three-dimensional thing that makes them unique from, you know, the rest of the people that fit that gimmick.
So with WWE, obviously, everything is very homogenized, and we know that they go to classes and they learn and they're doing all of these things. A lot of it is what they're being told to do. So for Wrestling Pro Wrestling, or in your experiences, how does Darwin Finch develop into the character that he is today? You know, do you have those outside influences, or how much of it is you putting into that versus someone telling you kind of how
to lead that character and what direction to go into?
Everything pretty much comes from me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've definitely changed and evolved over the years. You know, I didn't always used to have the more aggressive punk rock stuff added to that. That was kind of an addition. I did this whole, you know, nobody saw it, but it worked for me at least to have this transition with, oh, I've got to get tougher. I've got to, you know, get more respect and that sort of thing to elevate that character, to make it a little bit more unique. But, you know, I definitely take in suggestions and, you know, I've had a lot of, I'm very fortunate to have a lot of conversations with, you know, not just my trainers, but, you know, specifically at WPW, a lot of conversations with Brian Kendrick to kind of figure out, you know, possible ways to expand and change and, you know, some things that we could possibly do with the character moving forward. Mm. You know, mostly, you know, in the last couple of years, I've been just doing the straightforward wrestling matches, and it's only been up to recently that I've been starting to do more of a story-based stuff. But, yeah, most of it is coming from me, though. And, you know, I basically, I'll definitely listen to other people's ideas, because everybody and their mother will want to tell you, hey, you should do this. Hey, what have you ever thought about doing that? And, you know, I always take that into consideration, but ultimately it's up to me to decide if I want to use any of that and how I want to apply it to make it mine.
Now, you wrestle in Wrestling for Wrestling and Santino Brothers, as we mentioned. You've also, I'm correct, you've wrestled for Hood Slam.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other promotions? And in wrestling in these different promotions, do you alter the character in any way? Like, if you come into a different promotion, will they try to, you know, potentially ask you to do something different with your character? Or are you firmly set on, no, this is who Dexter, you're not going to do it. This is who Darwin Finch is. Darwin Finch is, and there's no leeway there.
Yeah, so I've bounced around a little bit. I've also done a few, I was starting to be a regular on Best of the West up in Fresno. And, you know, like you said, I was starting to be a regular for Hood Slam. Other promotions, I've just kind of bounced around, maybe done one or two shows here and there. But they never really ask me to do anything that's not me. Sometimes certain wrestlers will want me to do something that I'll say, no, that's not who I am. You know, I'm not somebody that's going to randomly throw a punch in the first 5 minutes of the match. I'm not somebody who is going to on the opposite end, cower away from somebody. You know, some people take a look at me and they look at my gimmick and they already think they know what I am. And you know, I have to steer them away from that. So, but, you know, I'm not really pressured too much, and I'm not against making some changes. You know, I've never asked to be a heel, but if I had to, I would figure out a way to make it make sense for me. You know, what is driving Darwin to act this way? But most of the, I would say a good majority of the time, I'm just doing my own thing.
I would imagine that you... Oh, go ahead, Chad.
No, I was asking if you had a question.
Oh, I was just going to ask. I would imagine... I know that some parts of the country right now are starting to reopen, and some of my friends in the business that are, you know, in surrounding areas have talked about getting back into the ring by as early as June. Are you guys in California probably in a similar situation as we are here in Illinois, where we still don't know when we're going to be back and getting involved and doing shows in front of live audiences? Any of the promotions out there, are they doing shows without a crowd, or is that even allowed, as we've seen with some of the guys that are on TV right now?
Sure. Yeah, for the most part, we have no idea what's going on around here. That's unfortunately why Santino's decided to pack up for now, because they, you know, it didn't make any sense to keep paying rent on a building that would be closed for who knows how long.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hood Slam up in Oakland might have run one show that was with no crowd, and they've been still putting out content, but they don't. I don't think they're doing any actual wrestling anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're just putting out you know, little bits, if you will. And I know. Yeah, Wrestling Pro Wrestling has been doing the same thing, putting out small videos, you know, I've been working on a couple of videos for them, so keep a lookout for that. But as far as, you know, doing actual shows, no, nobody's really doing anything, and I think a lot of people are going to be hesitant to do shows. Kind of the climate is probably a little, I think people will get ostracized and mm-hmm. a little bit if sure. they jump right back in, once things open up, you know, so we're going to have to be cautious about, how we move forward when this is all over.
Yeah.
I did see that, WPW has teased doing a virtual reality show or some type of show along those lines with you versus Watts. So do you have any information on this, or how are you training for this match?
Yes, they are going to interject us into some kind of virtual wrestling ring. That's going to be streaming on Twitch. They haven't announced the date or time as of yet. I think the votes might be over. I don't actually know what won. I wish I had that information for you. But I know that the choices were Extreme Rules, a table match, or a Hell in the Cell, and I believe Hell in the Cell won.
Oh, wow.
I'm not 100% sure on that, but the last time I checked the polls, that was ahead by a lot. I can't imagine that anything else crept up on that. So, I might have my work cut out for me, but hopefully if I die in a video game, I don't die for real. We'll have to see. I don't know if this works on Tron rules or what.
And then in those regards, going back to not, you know, being able to do shows now, are you still, you know, able to train, because with gyms being shut down and, you know, Santino Brothers also being shut down, like, have you, and I don't know how much you talk with other wrestlers during this time, but have people still finding a way to train, or is there going to be a lot of ring rust to shake off once shows get back up and running?
It's kind of unfortunate. I mean, of course, you know, I can do all my calisthenics at home. I do have, you know, weights and resistance bands. I can go on a run and stuff. But, you know, it's not, I mean, I'm sure, you know, the cardio is not the same, as being in a ring in that small little box, if you will, with the ropes and everything you need to take an account for. So I'm sure a lot of us are going to be blown up when we first get back into the ring. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of ring rust because, yeah, I haven't even put on a so much as a headlock in about 2 months, let alone take a bump. So, and yet my back still hurts.
Well, as we start to wind down, Chad, if you have another question, I'm going to throw one more out there, and this is not designed to put you on the spot, and if I have, I apologize, but if Darwin Finch finds his name on the marquee for WrestleMania, who is standing across the ring against you?
WrestleMania. Ooh. I mean, is this a dream scenario?
Yeah, or like if you were able to wrestle anyone, if you were able to wrestle anyone, and it doesn't even have to be anyone in WWE, but if you were on a big stage, worldwide audience watching, who would Darwin Finch want to be in there against?
If it was anyone in the world, I would probably choose the great Sasuke, which I know is kind of an obscure choice.
Mm-hmm.
If it was WrestleMania, I would probably choose either Rey Mysterio or maybe, I don't know if Spike Dudley's in retirement, but if he is, let's get him out of there.
There you go. I like that. I like that.
I guess we're winding down. Hopefully, you know, Wrestling Pro Wrestling will be back up and running soon. I am looking forward to the match for the mid-card title that you were supposed to have against the Dark Sheik, who stole the title from you a few months ago.
Yep.
And Falls Count Anywhere match. We'll be having a Falls Count Anywhere match.
We could have that now, right?
You could. Anywhere. Yeah. And I mean, I still am voting for a Falls Count Somewhere match. To figure out where it is.
Yeah.
But Darth, you know, if you want to promote yourself, I believe you have a Pro Wrestling Tees store and you have awesome punk merchandise, which actually I'm going to ask one more question before that. Name your top five punk bands.
Okay. All right. Top five punk bands. I'm going to go with Rancid, The Queers, Screeching Weasel, NoFX, and The Clash.
Do you approve of these bands, Chad?
I mean, I am familiar with them. I was going to ask if you'd ever heard of any of those.
No. You know me. I don't know. I'm
just kind of surprised Screeching Weasel is in there. I've not heard that name, anyone promote them since like 1995, I think. So that was a college band that popular. I'm dating myself. Wow.
They're from the Chicago area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of their song "I Hate Led Zeppelin" because I feel the same way.
Yes, that's off the album "Boogada Boogada Boogada."
So, anyway, Darwin, you want to promote your social media and any place where fans can find you? Any other promotions? Any matches you'd recommend that people can watch either on YouTube or other streaming services?
Oh, absolutely. So you can find me on Facebook, Darwin Finch, obviously. Send me a friend request. Don't bother following my like page. Facebook tries to make you pay money for anybody to see your posts, so I stopped posting on that. Twitter is at DarwinFinch3. And Instagram is at @PunkRockPoindexter. My pro wrestling tees store is prowrestlingtees.com/Darwin Finch. You can also find some of my merch that's not on my own store. It's through the Wrestling Pro Wrestling store. So that's prowrestlingtees.com/wrestlingprowrestling. And if you want to check out some of my matches, I would say my match versus Eli Everfly. Any match that I've ever had versus Watts, versus Gregory Sharp, and definitely versus the Dark Sheik.
Yeah. Good stuff there with the Dark Sheik from the show that... that was the first show that Chad introduced me to Wrestling Pro Wrestling. So,
Oh wow,
yeah. And Gregory Sharp is another one that, if you follow me on Twitter, I will put over all the time. And your match with him, I believe it was from November 2019, just tore the house down or blew up the Moose Lodge, if you will.
Oh, thank you.
One thing that I mentioned before we started recording, and I almost forgot to do, watching your matches, though, I do realize that your finishing move, the after-school special, most of the time when you go for it, you call it out, and then your opponent reverses it or blocks it. Have you thought about maybe waiting until after you hit the move to call it out? Or why give your opponent the heads up that you're about to hit that move?
You know, I think I just get I get so wound up in the moment, and I know how much the wrestle turkeys are anticipating you know, the ability to shout that out with me, that I can't hold it in any longer. I'll try to suppress that a bit, though, so that I can actually hit it one day. But I can't make promises, man. Sometimes you're just in the moment.
Fair enough.
Totally understand. Darwin Finch, thank you so much for being a part of the show. We would love to have you back again at some point in the future once life returns to normal for all of us wrestling companies out there. Maybe we can pick your brain another time as well. Thank you, though, for being a part of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast this week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. It was a blast.
Absolutely. And Chad, thank you as always. Positive Cynicism Podcasting Network founder and host over there. And I know you've got a lot of big things coming up as well.
Sure. right now I'm in the middle of listening to the album God Shuffled His Feet by the Crash Test Dummies, because someone said it's a good album and it fits in with our Wonder Why series.
Oh, well, so good.
Look for that at the end of May.
Well, I will listen to that one. One of my favorite albums, actually. So for Chad Smart, I am Kevin Huntsberger from My 1-2-3 Cents. Be sure to follow My 1-2-3 Cents on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And, of course, check out those blog posts as well. Friends, we'll be back next week with more My 1-2-3 Cents.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.